But I'm hoping that to this morning that I'll be able to encourage you as we go through our fathers, as we celebrate them. What we do as a father is important, and it will impact the generations to come. I don't know about you, but I loved that video that I just shared with you this morning, because that is so representative of my heart and exactly what I hope that you guys will get out of today's message, is that we need to be men of God. We have a responsibility as men to be the leader in our home. And I want to start this morning by reading a passage of scripture that you can find in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. And it says this, listen to it. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. And you know what? Praise God that his word is able to equip each of you for every good work. And I can tell you this, that the work of leading your home is good work. It's one of the highest callings on earth, but you've got to be equipped. And great families don't happen by accident. Let me share that with you again. Great families don't happen by accident. Now, I heard the story about a little boy who was not any older than 6 years old. And he was playing football with his friend in the front yard. And as you can imagine, these two little boys, the competition was intense. One of the little boys said, "My dad can punt this football almost as high as that tree," pointing to a tall tree in his front yard. Then his friend said, "My dad can punt that football over the tree." And then he said, as he was saying that, he started for his home. "I'm going to go get my dad right now and I'll show you." So then his friend turned and ran for his house. Now, neither of these boys had ever seen their dad punt a football, but they knew for one thing for sure that they were not going to let their friend have their dad outdo theirs. You know, for many children, their dad is the first hero. However, for others, their dad may have never been around. No matter what comes to mind, whatever you think of your dad, I want you to know that your heavenly Father is the God of the universe, and he loves you very much. We may not understand why certain things happen, but we can trust that the love of our heavenly Father will never leave us. His unconditional love will always be there for us, and he loves us wholly. His love will never run out or never leave. Psalm 68:5 tells us that Abba is a father to the fatherless. He steps in to fill the gap, that point where life will totally go wrong. And you know what we tend to do? We tend to place blame on God when bad things happen, and we push him away. The love of our heavenly Father is there for us, especially during our lack of understanding. But even in the moments that we blame God, he still covers us with love. His banner over you and me is love. And he wants to heal you, and he wants to love you through the pain. He wants to give you a bright future, and he wants to rely on him to be your Abba in your life. Because the one thing that we can trust is that he is the one who will never leave us. Now, I want to ask you this one question this morning. I want to ask you this question. What does it mean to be a real man? You know, according to TV commercials or sitcoms, the dad is the fool of the family. He's portrayed as a narrow-minded bigot, a buffoon. He's the butt of all jokes, the one the whole family looks down on. However, the Bible describes a real man in a totally different way. He's the spiritual leader of his home. He loves his family with self-sacrificing, unconditional love. He is honest and faithful and a model of integrity to his children. This is quite the contradiction from what we see on TV today. The sad thing is that we Americans tend to take our cues from the national media. However, today it is my desire to honor the men in our church. And I believe that the best way to do that is to share four qualities that every family needs to see in a man. Whether your children are raised and out of the home, or whether you have just begun to start a family, being a leader of your home is a difficult task. And of all people, I am far from having it figured out. I make mistakes all the time. And this message is so pointed towards me as I preach it. But what I want us to do this morning is I want us to look to the Bible. I want us to look to the Bible this morning for the instruction that God gives us to be the man that he has called the men to be. The Word of God gives us clear direction. And I'm going to give you some general instructions about your role as the man of your home. The first thing that every man needs, or that every house needs to see of their man is this. They need a man who is saved and walks with God. They need a man who is saved and walks with God. Look at two verses here from the book of Genesis. Genesis 5:24 says this, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Genesis 6:9 says this of Noah. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. You know, the phrase "walked with God" is only used of Enoch and Noah. A walk indicates communion or intimacy with God. The minor prophets at the end of the Old Testament use this phrase to describe the intimate walk that priests made as they entered the Holy of Holies to speak directly with the Lord. It describes the closest communion with God, as if walking at his side. Enoch went through life step by step in fellowship with God. Now, for most type A personality men, they don't like walks because they're not efficient. If you're trying to get something done quickly, you don't just go take a walk. That's why the metaphor of a walk with God is so helpful here. When you're walking with someone, you're not moving so fast that the conversation is difficult. You can enjoy the communion that you're with the person. You and your wife, when you go through a walk in a scenic park, you can look together at cloud formations. You can walk through the scenic park and see the turning of the leaves. You can savor the trickles of the stream as you walk. You know, by taking long walks with someone, it's a great picture of intimacy. Men, let me tell you this. Your family needs to see you walking with God. Your family needs to see you walking with God. Your kids need to see you walking with God, going to the Holy of Holies. They want to go there too. Just like Enoch and Noah walked with God. That was written in their eulogy. What will your children write in yours? Will they say, "Dad was a big football fan. Dad was the best fisherman. Dad was the funniest man that I ever knew." Now, all those things are fine and good, and those are great things for men. However, the dominant thought of you that should enter the minds of your children is this: my dad walked with God. If that is true, they will likely desire the same. And men, I want to ask you this question this morning. Are you walking with God this week? Have you spent time in his word this week? Is your walk a relationship that is strong in your life? Is he the rock of your life? Is he the center of your wheel? Is he the north to your compass? Or is he just the man that the preacher talks about on Sunday morning? Do you know that one of the most deflating statements for me as a pastor that I've ever heard is this? Sometimes I will meet new families visiting a church, and the natural question I ask is, so how did you come to visit us? And on more than one occasion, this is the answer that I get. We just thought our kids needed to grow up in church. Now, don't get me wrong here. I do understand that is a great thing to be coming to church for. You know, our children, they need this environment. They need to be exposed to the worship. But let me tell you what is far more important than bringing them to church. And that is having church in your home every day of the week. They need to grow up in a home where every day is worship to them. Every day is another opportunity for them to walk with God. Now, you might be bringing your kids to church or to Awana every week, and that's great, that's awesome. But if scripture memory is unimportant to you, it will mean little to your kids. You can send your kids to Christian school, but if that school is not an extension of your home, then that child will grow up a spiritual schizophrenia. So what does that mean? It means that you fathers, you grandfathers, you men must let your kids see you walking with the Savior. It's called modeling, and it's the best form of teaching. Let me give you a statistic here that I came across. When a mother of the family is the first person to accept Christ, the rest of the family will convert usually 17% of the time. When a child is the first, the family follows usually 31% of the time. However, when a father turns to Christ first, the family will follow him 93% of the time. And that is a fact. And the fact is, men, your walk is the most powerful sermon in your family. More powerful than your wife's, more powerful than your preacher's. So let me ask you again, men. How is your walk this morning? Are you walking with the Lord? The second quality that every family needs to see in a man is this: a man who is a leader and a teacher. A man who is a leader and a teacher. One of my favorite Old Testament passages is the story of Joshua. In the final chapter of that amazing book, Joshua is giving the people one last charge. Now that they've arrived in the promised land, they have a choice to make about the way that they are going to live. This man of God wants his people to know that he is unbending when it comes to his convictions. He has led them through all kinds of battles, and now this is what he says in Joshua 24, 14 through 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourself today whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know what? Joshua had guts right there. He was a man of courageous fear and trepidability there. He was not concerned with being cool and accepted by the norm. He said, you can live how you please, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now here's what I get out of that. I get that we must be men of conviction. We shouldn't be spineless or passive. Don't let other people determine what is best for your kids or your family. You set the rules and the values in your home. I ran across this little article while preparing for my sermon. And this article is called Fathers Are Teachers. Fathers have the greatest opportunity as teachers of anyone in the world. in many respects, greater than the opportunity of a school teacher. You see, that boy or girl in the home has the chance to see if God, if the father and the mother really believe and practice what they teach. A father who acts as if he believed in Sunday school and then doesn't go himself is teaching by his actions that he really doesn't feel that it is very important. A father who teaches love and tolerance to all and yet maintains a critical attitude of the home in the home towards his brothers and sisters in the church is doing a wrong to his children, which never in this world can be undone. It is pure poison to the mind of the child and will most certainly be a stumbling block in the way of the child becoming a Christian. A father who says he believes in the Bible to be the greatest book in the world, as he leaves it on the shelf to gather dust, while he spends hours with the newspaper, the magazine, the radio, the television, is in reality saying, "Children, the Bible really isn't too important. Read it only if you have extra time." You see, men, you are a teacher. You are a role model. The next generation is looking up to you. And what you are doing is what they are going to do. Are you teaching your convictions? Are you telling your kids what they need to hear? You know, it's amazing how a father's convictions will one day become the convictions of their own children. If you instill in your children now what is right, they too will one day desire the same for their own kids. No man ever really finds out what he believes in until he begins to instruct his kids. So I say to you men what God said to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Your children and your grandchildren, they want you to be their anchor. They may try to move you and push you along with the tides of pop culture, but you must hunker down and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Here's the third quality that every family needs to see in a man. A man who makes others feel loved and secure. Of a man who makes others feel loved and secure. 1 Corinthians, the famous love chapter, says this. This is what Paul says about the dominance of love. If I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. Love does not brag, and it is not arrogant. It does not act unbecoming. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That is true for any man in his home. It doesn't matter what he says or what he believes when his life lacks an outpouring of love. Now, can you imagine the ministry of Jesus Christ if he went from city to city preaching great sermons but never taking the time to listen to Zacchaeus? Or never taking the time to counsel with the centurion. Or never taking the time to speak words of grace to the cheating woman. His words would have meant nothing. But instead, he backed up everything he said with an enormous demonstration of an unconditional love. Men, I want to give you 8 ways to say I love you. 8 ways to say I love you. First, Begin each day by hugging your wife and each child and tell them, I love you. Begin each day by hugging your wife and your children and tell them, I love you. Number two, plan special family trips in advance so that the family can anticipate something fun together. Number three, surprise the family. Cancel a morning, an afternoon, or even a full day of work just to be with them. Number four, pick a day and let your child go to work with you. Or grandparents, let your children come help work with you in the yard. Number five, take an interest in your child's schoolwork and activities. Ask them to tell you about it, and then listen. Number six, write out each child or grandchild a love letter, and then mail it to them. Number seven, apologize often for your shortcomings. Tell them what you plan to do to change. And then number eight, end each day by hugging your wife and your child and tell them, I love you. Eight simple ways that you can be a good man in your home. You know what? The measure of a man is not how much his faith is, but how great his love is. And if you have not love, nothing else matters. Listen to Ephesians 5:25. It says this, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You know, it's been said that the best thing a man can do for his children is to love their mother. The husband and wife relationship is the priority of the home. And you can see this in Genesis chapter 2. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Now, this one flesh relationship becomes a new priority. Your children might come from your own flesh and blood, but you are not one flesh with them. After God, you are to love your spouse first. Any marriage counselor will tell you this. One of the worst things that you can do to poison your kids is to love them more than you love your spouse. They need you to demonstrate the priority of marriage. Now, I don't know about you, but if you've ever ridden in an airplane, I'm sure you are familiar with this tutorial that you receive before the plane takes off. The stewardess gives instructions on how to fasten your safety belt. And then she says something that seems a little abusive and maybe cruel. She says if the plane depressurizes, oxygen masks will lower, and parents, apply your mask first and then apply your child's mask. Now, doesn't that seem a little cruel? You know, most parents would want to put their child's needs to be met before their own. But some smart people in the travel industry figured something out here. They figured that dead parents can't take care of their children. And when your marriage hits rock bottom and is dead and you are so unhappy and bored in that relationship, you are no longer able to help your kids like you need to. So even though it feels wrong, you should ignore them sometimes so that you can give your wife the undivided attention and to be able to meet her needs. Believe me, I know it's tough. I struggle with that, to find the time to do that. But it needs to be a priority in our lives, men. It is necessary for our husband and wife relationship to flourish, for us to make that priority in our lives. Men, you are the one God called to watch the wick of your marriage. That candle of love must keep burning, because once that flame goes out, or even when it dims to a flicker, the children are deeply impacted. And one day, your daughter is going to grow up and want to marry a boy. And when she goes looking for a life partner, she may go in search for that man that will treat her like her daddy treated her mommy. And that brings me to the last quality that every family needs to see in a man. A man who listens attentively and controls his temper. A man who listens attentively and controls his temper. Listen to James chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. This says this. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Can there be an even more convicting passage than that right there? I don't know about you, but that pretty much stabs me right in the center of the heart. My children need more than my presence. They need my ears and they need my eyes. We listen with our eyes. Now, I heard about a dad who was watching SportsCenter or some ball game, and his eyes were focused on that box. Meanwhile, one of his children were pulling on his legs, saying, "Daddy, Daddy, 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 I want to tell you something. Daddy, Daddy." And he pulled one of these numbers. "Uh-huh. What's up?" Then he finally looked at her, and she said, "Daddy, I put the doggy in the oven." He turned and looked and said, "That's nice, pumpkin. That's nice." And they went right back to his world. You know what? My wife and my children need more than my presence. They need my eyes and they need my ears. They need me to turn the work switch off and to be fun, loving, and playful. They need me to bring a calming joy to the home, not a quick-tempered tension. Be quick to listen. What a radical concept. Lead with your ears. Do your wife and children feel like they have your ears? Do you lead by listening, or are you always dominating the conversation? Now, I want you to take a look at that second part of the verse here. That second part of the verse is dealing with anger. Dads should be slow to become angry. Now, I don't know about you, but I am personally insecure around people that easily get their feathers ruffled. I feel like I'm always walking on eggshells. And when a man has a short fuse, it makes people nervous and anxious and insecure. Because after all, nobody wants to associate with rage. In the Old Testament, pagan people worshipped a host of gods. And these gods were believed to be very testy. They were short-tempered, and they had little patience for people. So what did the people do? They tried their very best to appease these gods, to just keep them happy, so they would stay away. Nobody wanted a relationship with those gods. They wanted to keep them at bay to protect themselves. But then there's this guy named Jesus who comes along. And he tells stories about a heavenly Father that is loving and tender and gracious. This Father is compassionate and slow to anger. He's merciful and loves to give people a second chance. This Father wants his children to ask for things, and he delights in giving them good gifts. This Father wants us to address him as Abba, which is a personal title, Daddy. This Father in heaven is approachable and soft towards his children, not moody and abrasive. And when Jesus changed the way people viewed God, guess what happened? People desired to know him. They wanted to be near him. If people have to worry constantly, men, that you're going to blow your top, do you know what's going to happen? They will become like the Old Testament people, and they will do everything they can to stay away from you. They're afraid of getting hurt. But when you reflect grace, and you are tender, and you listen to them, guess what happens? They'll want to be near you, and they need that. Your temper is like a fire. It gets very destructive when it gets out of control. How about you, men? Let me ask you. Are you quick-tempered? Are you known as a hothead? If so, you need to change that. Bring the grace of God into your life. Your children and your grandchildren want that. I want to bring us full circle and restate the verse that I started the message off with. It says this, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for what? For teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that who? The man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And praise God that his word is able to equip every one of us for a good work. And I can tell you this, that the work of leading your home is good work. It's one of the highest callings on earth, but you've got to be equipped. Great families don't happen by accident. And my hope for you men is that you will allow the Word of God to give you clear direction in how to be a great husband, a great father, and a great grandfather. You know, we discussed today four qualities every family needs to see in you men. And that first one was a man who is saved and walks with God. Second, it was a man who is a leader and a teacher. Third, it was a man who makes others feel loved and secure. And then fourth, a man who listens attentively and controls his temper. These general instructions will help you in your role as a husband and as a father and as a grandfather. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I felt very convicted as I was preaching this message this morning. There are a lot of areas in my own life where I don't measure up to what the Bible is trying to tell me to do. And I need to work at this. And I hope that you will decide the same thing as well. I hope that you will choose this Father's Day to not only be to enjoy your family, but to work on becoming the man that God called you to be. So how about you this morning? Are there some things that you can do better? Look over these four qualities, and I want you to write down one thing that you are going to work on this week. I want you to make strides to become a better person. Take them to heart. Act on them, because this is pleasing to the Lord. God wants you to rest in Him through your difficulties and through your struggles. Joshua was courageous, and he trusted in God. He was not concerned with being cool and accepted and the normal. He said, "You all can live how you please, but as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord." Be a man of conviction. Don't be spineless or passive. Don't let other people determine what is best for you. You set the rules and the values of your own household. This morning, I want to open up the altar to you. I want you to come down and throw yourself onto a compassionate and loving God. A God who wants to hear your prayer. A God who wants to heal your heart. A God who wants to soothe your pain. A God who wants to invite you into His family through His love, grace, and merciful forgiveness. I want to call you to come to this altar and seek out a God who wants to know you personally. Now, I don't know how comfortable you would feel coming front, but if that's something that you feel comfortable doing, I'm welcoming you to come down this morning when we sing a song. You're welcome to come down here and kneel and pray. If maybe you feel more comfortable as staying in your seat and saying, "God, I need your help," do that. Don't leave this morning without saying, "I am going to work to do better. I want to grow in my relationship with you, Christ." We've been working through this sermon series called Next Steps in Following Jesus. Maybe your next step this morning is this, that you need to be more of a man for God. Work on that. As we close in this final song this morning, I'm going to invite you to come. If you feel like you need help in any one of these areas, I invite you to come. If you feel like you need someone to just pray for you, come. Someone from our staff would love to help you out. Our elders would love to help you out. Don't leave this morning without taking time to spend with God. Will you pray with me? Lord, I come to you this morning, and I ask that you bless every father and every grandfather here this morning with the best of your spiritual blessing today. Let him know that he is not alone in the task that you have given him to provide. Lord, I'm asking you, as we come to you, you are our gracious Heavenly Father. You are the Father to the fatherless. You are the one who is our rock, our foundation upon which we should be building our families upon. Lord, we come to you this morning. As we ask for strength, as we ask for help with our own lives, we come to you. Lord, I love you. I thank you for the work you're doing in my own life. I pray that I would walk out of here personally as a changed man. As I desire to grow so that my children will see me following you. I love you, for it's in your name I pray. Amen.